Want great pay and lots of perks? Get a $1,500 sign-on bonus when you join the Verizon retail team in the San Francisco Bay Area now. Help connect customers with the perfect products every time. Apply at Verizon.com/retail jobs. Verizon is an equal opportunity employer.
The Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years' combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Here, we take it. I don't know where, but we can take it somewhere.
Oh, man.
I'm all for that. Let's see. What has been the climate has been cold.
It's been very cold. Yes.
For Northern California people.
Yeah. Really. I mean,
we have to qualify that.
Yeah.
Somewhat damp and rainy at times. Somebody actually said to me that there was a huge lightning and thunderclap.
Yeah.
And that was on, I guess, Wednesday night to Thursday morning, somewhere there.
That sounds right.
Yeah, because I didn't know it, and I said, well, what time? And they said, oh, it's about 11:30, 12 o'clock or something. Mm-hmm. And I said, but I was in bed reading. Why didn't I hear?
It was earlier than that for me. But, you know, it depends on where the storm was moving.
Right.
Yeah. Well, as you know, Elvira, my ex is native, and my former mother-in-law would say that was the herald that spring was here.
Ah.
That there were two different, for Sonoma County, according
right.
to some of the indigenous folks that lived in Sonoma County,
mm-hmm.
There was two signs. One was the first thunderstorm in the spring, which
right.
is a rare thing to happen, oddly.
Yeah.
The second was the first rainbow.
Uh-huh.
Either of those things would be a herald of spring. And this week, both of those things happened. I saw a double rainbow.
Oh, my.
Which is funny because I saw a hearse. And I was like, weird. I hardly ever see hearses.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like a string of weird kind of bad omen-y synchronicities that day.
Right.
So I was like, oh, no, a hearse. Like, should I be worried? And then immediately got on the freeway, and there was a double rainbow. And I went, okay, I'm taking that as an okay sign then. And then the next day there was thunder.
Ah, well, maybe we will see. I mean, we do need rain, obviously. That's one of our things here that is
yeah.
important.
But it still rains in the spring.
Yeah, I know it does. I just, you know, I think of it as more like winter rain as opposed to spring rain.
Right. Well, and you know, next week is Imbolc, which is, for me, in Sonoma County, California, that is the beginning of spring.
Yeah.
It really is.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
anyway.
Well, there you go. And that being, you know, the big thing, I was like, oh, okay, fine, you know.
Yeah.
But the rest of it has been just, you know, it's kind of gets foggy, and then you have to try to drive to work in the fog.
A lot of fog.
Yeah.
I love it. Fog's my favorite.
Oh, I like it, except when I'm having to drive strange, you know, like places that you know people are going to be acting weird.
Well, yeah, that's why I like it, because it's one of those weird creators.
Okay, so you live on the dangerous side. I mean, I do too. It's just that, in truth, the way the people have been living in the last 4 months here after fire and all.
Mm-hmm.
They're not in their bodies. They're anywhere but what they should be doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that being a herald of I don't know what. So, but anyhow, and you, what was your week like, as you said, strange and ominous occurrences?
Well, yeah, I just had a couple of weird, like, you know, is this a sign or is it just a thing that happened, you know? It's sometimes a bird is just a bird and it's not a special omen for you, you know?
Right, right.
So I had a string of those things, but it's been kind of a busy, actually not kind of, it's been an extremely busy week.
Right.
I had my, you know, the Iron Pentacle class that I'm teaching,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm taking an astrology class because I'm loving it. And then my goddess gathering was last night. So Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, class.
Right.
I had to go to the dentist yesterday.
Yeah.
Just for a cleaning, but I hate the dentist. Hate it. And today I actually went and saw a shamanic practitioner, and I'm using that word lightly. I don't think that's the title she uses for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she also does Reiki. And there's just this block that I'm holding, and I realize I need some outside
push.
Help. Yeah. So I went and saw her, and I had an amazing freaking appointment.
Mm-hmm.
We did a cleansing and a calling in, and I got a Reiki attunement. And it was really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling, I feel really light mm-hmm. and positive and really tired. I need a nap. You know?
I totally get that.
Yeah. That's me.
Well,
how's your week been, Miss Elvira?
Yeah, well, you know, battling the ends of this cold. It mm-hmm. decided to come in as a cold, which, again, not the flu.
Right.
Avoid flu. And that process has been difficult. It's been difficult to maintain a certain amount of energy to do the things I need to do. And then, of course, talking to people, I was sounding like foghorn, leghorn, foghorn.
I'm sure it was much more sultry.
Ernie loved it. One of my coworkers, he thought that was great. I'm like, oh, my God. But, and then, you know, just not coming home and not really having the wherewithal to do anything other than barely get my dogs walked and myself fed and then just, you know, like there. And I had other things that I was committed to. So it's kind of been a bit of a drag.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, yesterday, my chiropractor loves me. I saw him on Monday. And, of course, last week I saw him and it pushed it all to the fore. And by Monday, he says, yep, good thing. It's all starting to drain. I go, yeah, you know, snort. And so by Thursday when I saw him again, he goes, oh, this is really great. And I'm going, good, because I'm just now beginning to say more than three words and not cough. Or,
yes,
you
that's
know.
Nice.
So this
well,
morning.
Continued health.
Health. So that was kind of the thing. And, of course, I lost a little bit of time there, and I kept harboring on, don't we have a thing we have to pre-record? And of course, Miss Phoenix put me back right. And
okay.
was like, no, I have the dentist appointment. And I'm going, oh. Well.
We can try and do the radio show while I'm at the dentist, but you're probably not going to get really clear direction.
Nah, it would have probably been a little bit intense on the gargling.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, that I would be sharing all of my weird spiritual inclinations with the dentist who, you know,
might not be.
Thinks I'm just a mild-mannered little white girl.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we want to keep that image. At least for, at least for the dentist.
For now. Yeah.
I
like to break them in slowly.
That's true. So, yeah, and then, you know, it's just sort of been a precursor to Aimball and, of course, a precursor to we consider it an important weekend because it's Aimball.
Yeah.
The rest of America feels it is the most important thing because it is Super Bowl.
Oh, I didn't even realize.
Oh,
it's so out of my awareness right now. That's hilarious.
It's very interesting because it just happens to be, so I don't follow it anymore because my husband was the football person. So I said something to someone. I said, well, so who's the people that
yeah.
are going?
Yeah.
And it's the Philadelphia Eagles
mm-hmm. oh.
and the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I hate the Patriots.
Well, the Patriots are like, this is, they've won six in a row,
yeah.
and this will be the seventh. And then I said, well, I think, I'm going to go for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay, because my husband was from Philadelphia.
Ah.
And even though he's a 49er, died in the wool fan,
yeah,
his second was Eagles. And then my nephew lives in Philadelphia.
Ah.
And then the third omen was I opened the paper up, and there's a whole thing about the bald eagles that are coming back here into Sonoma County.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
And I thought, I'm going with the Eagles.
Yeah. Sweet.
Well, you know, I have no idea if I'll watch it.
Put a bet down, Elvira. Maybe you'll make a big payoff on it.
And then I'll retire.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. So that's you know, the tra-la-la-la-la.
That's the general stuff.
Yeah, the stuff coming up. So, yeah, I was so. Now, what is it we do tonight?
Tonight, this evening, right now, is our very exciting Ask a Witch segment, which I still think we need to make like a little musical intro for. We're going to have to talk to Ellen about that.
Yeah, we will have to talk to Ellen. Some kind of a
thunder and lightning. And
yeah.
Like a cackle or
yeah,
something.
I think that'd be great because
yeah,
I think that will be, since it happens, you know, once every 6 weeks or so, it should have its own intro.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll I'll talk to him about that.
Yeah, we need that.
So now that we have that, it's Ask a Witch.
Ask a Witch.
So we had several questions.
Yes, we got a lot of questions, and again, we can't get to them all. So if you have a question that we don't get to tonight, please send your question in again, especially if you are looking for a reading, because maybe you don't need that reading anymore. Maybe you have another question.
Right.
But again, go to our website, witchpriestesscauldron.com, and there's a little form to fill out with your question. And if we are able to get to it, we will try. And I will also add, we got some weird questions this time.
I will have to concur, at least the ones that she finally chose as the ones that, you know, to start the whole process.
There's a couple weird ones that I didn't even, like, count because they're, so just so I can, you know, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm going to stay a little neutral here. But some of the questions that we got were clearly about fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually a couple of the questions we're going to answer tonight are bordering on fantasy, role play, make-believe. And one of the things that I just overall want to say is witchcraft, paganism, spell work, it's all a little bit more boring than you might want to fantasize it is. It's not like Harry Potter. It's not like the Magicians TV show. It's not like...
It's even Charmed.
No. And I would love it to be that way. I mean, for real, I would. But that's just not how it is. It's much more...
nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
It really
is. So, when I do, you see, when questions come through that are more on that fantasy edge, it's unlikely we're going to answer those questions because we're dealing with real nuts and bolts, spell work, magic, religious, spiritual expression.
Right.
Not, you know, how can I become an elf?
Right.
Which is one of the questions we got.
Which, in truth, there are options one could look at. I mean, the elf-like characteristics that they portray.
Yeah.
You can work on embodying them more in a real world sense than in, you know, the fantasy sense, and maybe work with the concept that, you know, a lot of people feel they're more elven in their energies of what it is. It isn't, and we use the word energy because that's really what it's about. It isn't about literally being an elf and changing to be an elf and then doing the things that we have seen elves portrayed in literature or film or any of that.
Yeah.
And so there is a side we can kind of put to, and I'm hoping that if somebody asks that question as they did, it can be more of a practical point of reference than it is to...
Well, the other side of that for me is that our overculture, the mainstream society, has expectations on what it means to be lots of different things.
Right.
What it is to be male, female, human, a specific religion, and all of that is just culture.
Right.
Right? Of course it has meaning out there in the world, and for the most folks out in the world, when you say, I am blah, 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 people are going to project what their opinion about what blah, blah, blah is on
right.
you. But none of that in the reality matters. So if you want to change into an elf because you don't like being human or you don't feel human, well, you are human.
Right.
So how do you be what you truly feel, understanding you're in a human body?
Right.
You know, it's you don't have to worry about what the overculture is telling you. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, I'm going to go off on a little sidebar here that's potentially disastrous. So
always stepping in new water.
I think this is, I have a teenage daughter. The way that gender is talked about or with her peer group, they don't give two shits about gender.
Mm-hmm.
It's not complicated for her peers mm-hmm. in the high school age to say, well, you're a boy. Well, you don't look like a boy, but you say you're a boy. Okay. Period, right? It doesn't matter what the overculture tells me a girl is supposed to be like or a boy is supposed to be like. It's about what I feel, what my inner self knows,
mm-hmm.
and living from that place. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if what you want is wings and to fly like Tinkerbell and have little ears grow and get pointy, maybe mm-hmm. you can do body modification, but it's not going to transform you into the
right.
fantasy
of what that
of
really
what
is.
Right.
So, yeah. Totally. And, again, we're always looking at things, trying to give it a broader base than what is maybe what we get in a black and white question.
Right.
Okay.
Black and white doesn't necessarily work ever.
And not even in truth of what we do here on, you know, talking about the different things that we have been talking about or our own practices.
Yeah.
A potential client called and wanted to talk to me about some things, and so we were discussing it, and, you know, her comment is, well, I'm Christian and I believe in God and he is this, and you know, I, you know, is this about Satan? And of course I have to go into my
right.
little sidebar of that. But then it's like, well, you know, here we are. I have, you know, we have two ways to look at things. And, you know, you have the dark and the light, which doesn't make it bad. You have the black and the white. But the question is, do you want to follow a path within harmony in this direction, or do you want to follow a path in which there is a lot more of the aggressive qualities mm-hmm. that dark would be?
Sure.
And, you know, so we have this wonderful. But, again, it's taking what she sees and what is the what is given out, i.e. there the ideas of what this is, what is magic, what is, you know, spiritual paganism, etc.,
mm-hmm.
and moving it
right,
you know, so
right,
and embodying it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can look at how many of us out there and who we are acclaimed and care, you know, carry the moniker of witch. And not any one of us looks identical to the other in
nope.
not just physical, we're two different people, but how we do something.
Right. Right. How we approach, how we dress, how we look at the world,
mm-hmm.
our political leanings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is nothing that's cut and dry and simple. It's, the world is much more gray than we might like it to be.
Right. And that's the reason why I think we feel more comfortable if we have it in a structure that is this or that.
Yeah.
Looks like this. A man looks like this. A woman looks like this. I mean, those days, they push to go back to. They're trying to regulate and take away liberties and things. It's. I feel we have already stepped over the line and moved into that territory,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of like walking into the desert. You're going to keep walking. There's no real direction anymore once you get so far into the desert. You don't necessarily know that going left is going to get you east and going right,
right.
if you don't have, you know, obviously compasses and things
right.
like that. So that's our
there's our random
stuff. So with that, let's go with one of the questions.
Okay.
All right. So we have the first question is from Alice, and it's, I feel lost. I don't know what I want in life. There is a man who has offered me a good life, and I know that I could be happy with him. But he is 17 years older than I am, and my family don't approve.
Do I think of myself in the situation, or do I just try to keep my family happy?
I'm grabbing my tarot cards.
She's grabbing her tarot cards.
Just in case.
In case we need to do this.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have the ability to be mobile to get what we need.
Yeah.
So.
In my bag here. I should have pulled them out before we started. The thing I want to start here, though, is this is a situation where we have someone almost answering their own question.
Right. The question I would ask her if she were my client is, first of all, how old is she?
Right.
Because a 17-year difference may make a great deal of difference if you're 19.
Yeah.
Versus, and hopefully not younger than that, versus 17 years difference and you're 28 or 30.
Yeah.
Puts them at a different point.
Right. And there's also, you know, there's that question, but, you know, where is your age at the moment? Mm-hmm. And she talks about her family, and she talks about how he brings a stability and a security that
mm-hmm.
she would be taken care of, but she doesn't actually say what she wants.
Right.
And I think that is, it's alluded to, my assumption here is that she actually wants this relationship, and
mm-hmm.
she's worried about what her family thinks.
Right. And understandably, you know, understandably, if the family and the age bracket she's in might feel that this is not the right, not the most appropriate way, they would feel comfortable. But it, truly, it comes down to making herself happy within that context. So what did you kind of do with your cards?
Well, I did a little three-card split here, and I think this is a complicated situation. So the first card I have is the Eight of Cups. So I think, yes, choosing this relationship means dealing with some disconnect and loss with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing to move forward with this relationship means letting go of their expectations and their feelings and having to feel okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have the Chariot. So this is a good card. I always take the
mm-hmm.
Chariot as a good omen. This
mm-hmm.
movement and achieving your goal and success. And so, again, for me, the question is, what is it you want?
Right.
If stability and security is really your biggest desire, then this sounds like the relationship to take. But if you want something deeper, if you want love, which is not mentioned here in
right.
the question, you know, be cautious because this relationship might take off faster than you realize.
Uh-huh.
And then I have the Queen of Cups.
Hmm.
So I always take that, whenever the Queen of Cups pops up, I take that as a sign that you already know what to do.
Right.
What is your intuition telling you? What's your instinct telling you?
Uh-huh.
Stop worrying about what everybody else believes and follow your instinct.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled a fourth card just because, you know, I don't like face cards.
I don't like face cards.
I don't like the court cards, so when they come up, I always ask for a little bit more clarity. And what
right.
I have is the Eight of Swords. So we start with the Eight of Cups, and we end with the Eight of Swords. Something about eights to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
But the Eight of Swords I always take as you're trapping yourself. You've
mm-hmm.
got yourself tied up. You've got yourself locked up. Stop making this harder than it has to be.
Right.
Release yourself from the trap and do what you want to do.
Right. Right. Well, and, you know, it's interesting because invariably we wind up syncing up in some way.
I like that.
And it's really nice. The first card was the Devil, which in my deck is the shadow side, which is, you know, the fear.
Yeah.
And her fear is what is blocking her at this point because there is only, you know, it's my fear of displeasing my family, the fear of not pleasing him,
right?
You know, and as you said pointedly, what do you want?
Yeah.
And the offer of love that he gives, and you may not like the court cards, the Knight of Cups, is, you know, to me, he is offering not just the stability, but there is a happiness, an offering of that seems to be coming.
Yeah.
And it's funny because underneath that is the Queen of Cups, which I thought was interesting. And she's just basically, she needs to let go and listen.
Yeah.
And move from inside herself.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so that's the biggest thing. And even with all of these little cards we pull, you know, when you figure it's that I could be happy with him, she's already saying that's the part that she's feeling.
Yeah.
You see, so I would say that under the circumstances, and it's funny because it seems to, again, themes are themes. I had about three clients in a row this week, different days, but this being now a fourth question about doing something that you want to do versus something your family feels appropriate in, whether it's a love relationship or in a couple of the situations, it was the family business versus what they really want to do.
Yeah.
And not to say we're telling people to go rebel against their family, but it's really what is going to make you the happiest. Mm-hmm. And even, and I pointed out about, you know, my way of looking at it is I chose to go so far from the family business that I went into acting and theater and film because my family were chiropractors and still are, and therapists and, you know, those. And then what do I do is this journey of my life, I come right around full circle through all this other stuff, and I am doing the kind of consulting and counseling and the work that they did, but in a more spiritual base.
Yeah.
So I just said my father's up there laughing his ass off. But it's true, you know, but you've got to do what makes you feel right when, you know, the family business, believe it or not, will still be there.
Right. Yeah.
I said, keep it as like an insurance. I mean, we buy insurance for our cars, so when, you know, something happens, I said, we don't buy insurance and then run right out and smash our car.
Right.
But it's there in case we need it.
That's true.
So.
All right. Well, hopefully that was helpful.
I hope so, too. So, Alice, hopefully that gives you an idea through both the cards that we're pulling and just our witchy wisdom.
Mm.
Yes, our WW. So our next one is actually one of the ones we were talking about is Edgar would like to know, hello, would you be able to transform into someone else without being them? Thanks.
The short answer is no.
See, there you are. In times past, you know, what they call shapeshifters.
Yeah.
Is not necessarily someone who, as we know in any number of films or whatever, you know, they suddenly become, you know, this other person.
Yeah.
I think that you can become another person, and this is well documented by using wigs and using makeup and using different clothes and learning to walk differently and having different, I mean, that's how they made 95% of what you would see in film and theater, people be other people.
Right. Before CGI.
Before CGI,
yeah.
And in reality, that is the external of what you then take on as an actor, the internal.
Right.
Okay, but invariably the one thing about an actor or actress, they have to be that, they have to change themselves internally to know how that being is going to be like. And we were talking about the elfin process. I think the same thing is the truth here. But you can't be you and put this thing outside on to be like I would look like, excuse me, Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's no way, first of all, because unless I really think about how that person is,
yeah,
I can't be her.
Right.
So there is a fine line between the real world and our fantasy.
Well, and there's also, again, a deeper question here. So, you know, is there a specific person you are attempting to mimic?
Right.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
What does that person have or possess that you want? Because really, why would you want to look like someone else unless there was something that they have that you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're either trying to sleep with their significant other, you want their money, you want something wonderful about their life, they they have a power or a finesse. Or if you're a criminal, you want to be able to look like them so you can break into the FBI building because they're an FBI agent. You know,
right.
So
right.
Full fantasy.
Right.
Why the hell not?
Right.
But I think the underlying question here is, what does that other person possess that you want to emulate, and start looking at that? Is it a confidence? Is it money? Is it a relationship? Is there something about that person's lifestyle, or energy that you want?
Mm-hmm.
And start looking at how you can work on yourself to emulate that.
Right.
Till you make it. You don't feel confident? Fine. Pretend you're confident. Pretend you're that other person. Go out in the world. Walk around thinking, all right, I want to be like George. George is a badass. George has his shit together. George is wealthy and he has a beautiful wife. I want to be like George. So today, when I leave the house, I am George.
Mm-hmm.
And wear it like a cloak, an invisible George cloak.
Right.
And walk around with that confidence and fake it until you make it. And that you'll start to notice if your energy goes out and emulates that thing, it's going to be reflected back
mm-hmm.
to you, and then it's going to be easier to internalize
mm-hmm.
that for
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And I think this isn't necessarily the woo-woo magic. This is the concepts of psychology.
Yeah.
And the concepts of what it's like to be human.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
that's part of being magical.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you start doing something and you're not fully confident and you're not fully aware, you fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you need to start.
Yeah.
In that one position.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you and I are practitioners of all of this, not just because we are practitioners, but because it's our spiritual pursuit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't just a thing that we do, it's who we are,
right?
You know? So part of that, no matter what your religious proclivities are, whether you are Hindu or Buddhist or Christian or whatever, if you're devout in your religion,
mm-hmm.
you are working to be a better representative of that faith.
Mm-hmm.
You are working to be a better representative of humanity. You are working on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing things to improve yourself, that's going to ripple out and improve the world.
Right.
It's going to help your interactions with other people. It's going to help the way you raise your children. It's going to raise the vibration
mm-hmm.
of the freaking planet, hopefully. So, you know, for, I think for you and I, Elvira, this is, when we're talking about these concepts, this is also how we live our life. So we want to improve our inner landscape,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
knowing that that improves the outer landscape.
Right.
Yeah.
And when there are things that are, you know, congested or clogged,
yeah.
you know, we work on the finding a external to help us unclog. But invariably, it is us that does it. It is
yeah.
not making someone having a spell that they do for us, or that we, you know, it's part of our personal work.
Yep.
And so, you know, someone's question like this, it's, you know, to transform into someone else without being them. What is it, as Ms. Seenig said, what is it
right.
that you see in them
right.
that you so much desire?
Yeah.
And then find it within yourself.
Yeah. And if it's, you know, their spouse, well, then you need to take a different track, because that's their spouse.
Right.
Piss off.
Right.
You know, cut and clear and go find a new relationship.
Right. Because in light of that, you know, and it's funny because, you know, when I said I was in the film, I wrote films. Not only did I, you know, and I helped the people that already wrote them to
yeah.
put them together. So when somebody says that, my mind is going into the scenes that it would then take of why this person would become this person and lay with this other man or woman's spouse, and then they would get what they wanted, but then it wasn't really them. And so truthfully, that's the other part. It isn't really you.
Yeah.
So even if you want that other person and you would become that in any way, shape, or form,
yeah.
it isn't really you who they are making love with or
right.
otherwise.
Right. Right. And eventually you have to go back to being you.
Right.
And if that feels like a bummer, then you have some work to do.
Right.
To improve the way you feel about yourself.
Right.
Right. And maybe that sounds like psychological woo, but it's the truth.
It is. And, you know, that's part of magic comes in all forms, in all manners.
Yeah.
We just want it to all look fantasy driven.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I guess it's way more fun.
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
I think we should take a break, yes.
Okay.
All right.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, the Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays, 5 to 6, Fit and Foxy, Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays, 6 to 7, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays, 6 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Holy moly, we're back.
Yes.
From beyond. Well, our next question actually is kind of a nice one. I like it. It says, and this is from Elvis, but not Elvis in our Presley Elvis, but that is, I know. But he says, a deck of tarot cards appeared in my dreams, and I started readings for people. What does it mean?
You want to start?
Oh, I'll let you. Only
well,
because I read the question.
Well, it means.
It means.
You have been chosen. No, it can mean a lot of things. I would say if it's, and I am not a good dream analyzer.
Interpreter, let's go with that, okay?
That is not my gift. I find dream imagery very confusing and very personal.
Mm-hmm.
So what it might represent to me does not mean that's what it would represent to you. So I'm just going to start with that. But I think if, you know, you felt comfortable, if it was exciting, if you felt like this was a good experience, then, yeah, start reading cards. Go buy a deck and practice and play with it and start learning and see how you like it. On the other hand, if you remember any of the imagery or any of the symbology in the cards, then it might have been a message coming to you from your own guides and allies about some information that
right.
you need. So this may be the beginning of a personal quest.
Right.
You know, if the sun card showed up and you remember very clearly the imagery of that card and what it meant, well, maybe it's time for you to do a little work around it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I could see it going either way.
Right. And because we didn't, you know, there isn't very much more clarity, I think that it is, it's got a little more, we'd ask more questions of the client to find out a little bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, it could mean it's time for you to start helping others. Maybe not in the sense of reading cards. Maybe it's in the sense of helping counsel or helping
mm-hmm.
put things into perspective or, you know, go out and work in the community
mm-hmm.
and help that way. Because usually when you're talking about doing readings for people in terms of this kind of a thing, it's that you are helping someone else have clarity of something.
Right.
They're asking questions. They want clarity. As you pointed out, you know, the symbology could be very personal. Tarot cards or the actual deck is, you know, and we did this back a couple of weeks ago, so we're going to jump.
Mm-hmm.
It is considered in some instances the book of life in the sense that the cards themselves, and specifically the major, have life lessons that they're part of.
Yeah.
So it could be that this is the beginning of your journey into some more personal work.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the kind of connotation. And if, as Phoenix said, this is certain cards speak to you,
yeah.
then that would be something to start looking at, look up the cards. If the people you were reading for were family and friends, then maybe it's the circle in that environment that you are, you know, asking, you have need of enlightenment or, you know, are concerned about. Or if it's just strangers, it could be, you know, parts of yourself that haven't been known.
Right.
So it's there are a lot of things that people ask when they talk about dream work. I like it. It's like a puzzle to me, and I kind of, you know, a lot of people get very detailed, and they talk about a lot of things, and then they kind of tell me, well, what do you think, where? And I go, well, you know, this is what it's saying to me.
Yep.
And if it rings true, then it has meaning for you. If there's something slightly off, find it what it means to you.
Yeah, and there are tricks to expanding dream messages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can set your intention before you go to sleep to go back into the dream.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just start journaling about that specific dream and see what comes through. Or you can trance it back into the dream, either
mm-hmm.
leading yourself through that or having someone guide you through that process.
Right.
To go back into the dream and finish the sequence, like what
mm-hmm.
comes next.
Right.
Or to ask questions of other people in the dream, like why, what's happening and why, and
mm-hmm.
you know, things like
mm-hmm.
that. Or go get a tarot reading, you know, maybe if you know someone who reads cards, if you regularly get readings, go ask your reader,
mm-hmm.
find a reader, what was this dream about? Should I start my
yeah.
own practice? Should I start my own road of doing readings?
Right.
But my guess is you should probably start learning the tarot. That's like my initial hit is that.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be so many bloody things.
And it's also, that's just the beginning. I mean, when I, what my leading to learning the tarot was a personal life crisis. And then from doing that, it was more, not because I wanted to learn how to read them for other people.
Mm-hmm.
It began to speak to me as a tool to speak to my guides, to speak
yeah.
to the other dimension.
Right.
And from there, it became a lifelong quest.
Yeah, that's funny. I started reading the cards. I was 15,
mm-hmm.
and I found a book about witchcraft or in the mid-90s, so
mm-hmm.
it was very much like, this is Wicca. It
mm-hmm.
wouldn't have necessarily been witchcraft, but basically it's like, you know, a Wicca 101 book, and the impression it left me with was, oh, if you're a witch, you read tarot cards. So I was like, well, I better learn.
Because I'm a witch, you see?
And that's why I started reading the tarot. I wasn't even necessarily that interested in it. I just thought, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Right. It's part of the
of
training.
Homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The training. Gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you see, and that just gives you two different versions of how people come to
yeah.
choosing that medium.
Right.
Some people choose other mediums,
yeah.
You know, in terms of helping others or going into the non-physical realm to bring information back.
Yeah, or reading bones or reading runes or the Obi, or there's so many ways to do divination.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, if that's also perhaps the calling, but the only medium you've been familiar with is cards, maybe
you'll
to explore some other mediums.
Yeah, because, you know, there are many ways to do it. And,
yeah.
and again, you've just started to scratch the surface.
Yeah.
So you've opened a door, dude. So
have fun.
Have fun. Yay. Okay, so you
oh,
have.
There
oh.
is actually one question that I didn't send to you because
mm-hmm.
it's sort of like a sidebar question.
Okay.
But, and I haven't responded. This is for Nicole. I haven't sent you an email back yet. She specifically wanted to know if there were reclaiming communities in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
And there is an active community in Portland, but I don't know about Seattle. There used to be, so I'm looking into that, and I will email you when I have clear answers on that.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. Now, was there another one that came up?
Yeah, I have one. It came actually today from Kenneth, and the question is, what is my purpose in life? What do you see written in the future? It's kind of a big one.
It's a big one.
Jeez, Ken.
Ken, we have the the wherewithal, but we do not have all the time.
Right. And this is an intense question, you know. So what? We'll pull some cards for you, but that's just going to give us a peek and maybe some next steps. And
right.
You know, and that technically you have two questions here. yeah.
From a reader's point of view.
Right. What is my purpose in life is one thing, and what do you see written in the future is another thing. And the future is vast. Tomorrow is the future. A week from now is the future. 5 months from now is the future. 20 years from now is the future, right? So you got to be more specific than this, buddy.
Right.
But we'll see what comes up.
Okay.
You want to start?
Sure.
I got a shuffle.
You got a shuffle. Okay, so... Okay, so, you know, here's the thing. Life purpose, okay, you're going to like this. I know it's kind of going to be, whoa, you've got the magician.
Ooh.
You've got the Queen of Wands, and you've got the Nine of Swords. So your purpose in life seems in terms of, you know, what I'm hearing in the cards is that when you have the Nine of Swords, this is grief. And, you know, drama and, you know, it's a mind card. It's got the mind is involved because it's a source. And the Queen of Wands can be an actual person or it can be an individual energy pattern. And I'm seeing it as inspiration. Fire wands and things are inspirational action and passion. And I would say at this point with the magician, the feel here is that, and I'm not going to say be a magician, but look at, I could, and it could be either the fake and show the, you know, cards and, you know, what card am I
sleight
pulling,
of
sleight of hand,
yeah.
Or the other. But I think it's being able to be someone who helps others find their focus and action through the process of having life altering issues that can be very or dramatic.
Mm.
So, you know, helping people through transitions is kind of how I'm seeing it. And it could be a therapist. It can be what we do as readers. It can be any number of, you know, spiritual consultants. But the feeling is that it's that kind of a bigger point of reference or even a grief counselor. So helping people through loss and grief.
Yeah.
Specific or not, there you go.
Okay.
And you?
Well, I have the Five of Swords, the Ace of Wands, and the Emperor.
Now that's interesting.
So the way I'm taking these cards is something in life isn't working right now. The Five of Swords for me is always a card of conflict. And so perhaps there is something going on in your life right now that is unsatisfying. Perhaps you're starting to question, you know, to say what's my purpose in life. Well, that's you're obviously questioning.
Right.
Maybe you've already made some choices that don't align with what your desires are anymore.
Right.
The Five of Swords tells me that you're in this place of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be with another person, but for me, I'm really feeling there's an inner conflict.
Mm-hmm.
There, and it's, as Elvira said, swords, it's intellectual. Perhaps you've been on a specific life path, and now you're like, I don't know that I want this life path anymore. Or perhaps you need to start exploring education.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the Ace of Wands, I always take as it's time for a breath of fresh air. It's time for a new beginning, and you need the Ace of Wands can be a match.
Mm-hmm.
You need some spark under your butt to get you moving.
Right.
So whatever it is that you've been doing, whatever it is that you've been holding on to in life, you need a little bit stronger motivation.
Exactly.
And the Emperor is more of that, but it's also structure. And rules,
mm-hmm.
and abiding by the guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
There's something here, like the little voice that, you know, so I don't know if I'm, we did a whole show on reading the tarot.
That's true, we did.
I don't remember if I said this or not, but sometimes when I read, I get a clear message from the cards, and sometimes I get a message from spirit, and it doesn't always totally line up with what the cards say. So in that, with that in mind... The message coming through from Spirit is something to do with education, and I think it's you need to go back to school. You need to go and finish something or follow the dream that you had and left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So take that as what it might mean for you. But it's time to step into something new that requires you to be dedicated. It requires you to up your skills.
Mm-hmm.
It requires you to get a little bit stronger motivation. You need that match under your ass.
Right.
So you might also need to find someone that can keep you accountable first stepping into this new place. And did you say something about medicine, or am I?
I said therapy, or you know, helping people.
Yeah, like I'm feeling like doctor.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You need to be doing healing arts, and I don't think it's necessarily
spiritual.
Yeah, I think it's like giving vaccinations and
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know. She, and it's funny because sometimes we'll pull extra cards. Sometimes we'll just see. I've got the Two of Swords, which is you have to make a decision now. This is the time of making a decision. And interesting enough is that the Page of Wands is youthful and taking an adventure. So something you chose not to do is a adventure that you wanted to do, but you chose something else.
Yeah.
It's time to go back to. And the Knight of Wands is the quester, so I would probably say, yes, go back to school, and it's something to do with a dream that you may have had when you were younger, but chose not to follow for some reason.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There you go.
That's the, and, you know, again, you know, what's your future? Well, it'll depend on which way you go with what we've given you and how you want to follow it through.
Yeah.
Because. The future isn't written.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yes. Okay. So where we are, oh, my, is our last question that we're going to do for the night since we're kind of close to our time.
Yeah, kind of close, yeah.
Is from Michael. And he says, and I think he meant, I have this ring. Was my grandfather's. He was a warlock and a mason. So we're talking the Masonic order.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on sometimes, meaning I think he put it on sometimes, just to feel it. Put it on the other day, like I have so many times before, out of the jewelry box. And I said a thing my grandfather used to say, Solomon Kane, out loud, for some reason, like a distant memory, you voice out loud. It electrocuted me so bad it floored me. What the hell is going on? Weird shit is happening around me. I can suddenly tell if someone is lying, and believe it or not, sort of like catch thoughts out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds crazy. Any ideas of what is happening? It's rather uncanny. I get flooded by people's emotions. It's nerve-wracking. How do you make it stop?
Well, have you taken the ring off? A.
That's it.
Right? There's one step. Sorry, I just jumped in there.
I think it's great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's layers here. A, I'm curious how old this person is, you know. You could just, your empathic powers or your psychic powers may just have finally opened up. Maybe your grandfather had a gift and it was imbued into this ring and you finally reached a point in your own process where you were able to access that. That's definitely a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
It could be completely unrelated to the ring. Who the hell knows? But, you know, it sounds like you've opened up your inner sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come back to that. Also, we're talking about life. So there is spiritual, there is psychic, there is emotional, and there is mundane. You could also be experiencing some psychotic break.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens to folks who are empathic. This happens to folks who are psychic. And it can disrupt your life. So I would also encourage you to speak to a medical professional to make sure that if this is having to do with an imbalance or a chemical imbalance or something going on that is about your health, that you're taking care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Hearing voices or catching things out of thin air does not mean you're crazy, but it can mean that there is an imbalance that you need medical intervention to help.
Right.
Okay. However, if it's cut and dry that this is around psychic skills opening, absolutely you can cut it down or cut it off or learn to control it, and that takes practice.
Exactly, too.
Yeah. So using that ring or a different piece of jewelry as a dampening agent, you know, imbuing another piece of jewelry so that it closes down your chakras, getting a stone or working with another teacher that can help you close down your third eye a little bit.
Right.
You're not picking up everything around you.
Right.
Or, you know, using that skill when you choose to and not being inundated with other people's shit.
Mm-hmm.
But empathic people, it can be really devastating when those gifts open up because
it's overwhelming to feel other people's stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to learn how to shield your body, your physical, emotional, and spiritual body. You have to learn how to set up shields.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think talk to a medical professional and then find a spiritual teacher that can help you.
And we're talking someone who is not of the dark arts.
Right.
I would definitely make that a point of reference for one reason. That's already, it has its validity, it has its strengths, but only when you have gone through the balancing on the other side. And it's very much, you know, there's the right and left eye of Horus. There is the right and left path in magic. And one of the biggest things people want to do is jump into the dark side first. And that's the other side. That's after you've gotten a good grounding and balancing in the more practical slash white side to be able to do that and then, you know, move forward. But definitely onyx or obsidian or black tourmaline, you know, is a big thing to do that. I have always been aware of energies, and I have a couple of my family members who are very empathic, and it took a while for them to learn, and actually they came to me, their mm-hmm. other, you know, family members. But it's, you have to learn to ground,
mm-hmm.
you have to learn to shield.
Yes.
And that ring has to be now taken into effect to have a balance. You avoid wearing it all the time.
Right.
I mean, we have pieces of jewelry that we use, and we use them specifically for things of this nature when we need to, if we're doing ritual. But we don't wear those things every day.
Right. Right. And you might also consider setting up an ancestor altar for your grandfather specifically so that you can communicate with him and find out what was he using that ring for, what were his skills,
mm-hmm.
what are the messages perhaps he's trying to communicate with you.
Right.
But the shield thing I would start working on right away. And, you know, a simple way to do that is to meditate, to let yourself go into a calm state and visualize a shield in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can create it, make it so that you could reach out and touch it. And you get to decide what it's made out of. You get to decide what color it is. You get to decide how it's embellished. But create that shield so that any time you are in a situation where you're being overwhelmed by messages or things that you're not ready for, you just put that shield right up, and it creates a barrier
right.
for you, right?
Right?
So that you don't get inundated with things that you don't need or aren't ready for.
Right, and I would say three-dimensional, not
yes.
just one-dimensional,
yes.
so that it fully encompasses all of you,
yeah.
top, bottom, and all around.
Yeah.
It can be anything. I have a lot of people I start with just like one of those little hamster bubbles that they
mm-hmm.
put themselves in. And then you can make it a suit, or you can make it a cloak, or you can, whatever it is that suddenly becomes more viable for you. But it has to fully encompass you,
yeah.
not just one way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and, you know, start keeping an eye out, looking, searching for someone who can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, someone that you can communicate with face-to-face.
Right, in person.
Yeah.
Because it's really important. Like Phoenix had said at the beginning of the show about going to this particular individual that she did,
yeah.
you know, some Reiki and some work with, and there was, you know, physical interaction.
Yeah.
because it's really important that interaction start to take place, because it sounds like from what you've written to us is that it is nerve-wracking and it is something that get flooded with, and this individual will be able to, you know, start to put things a little bit like, you know, give you more space around you.
Right.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Okay. Well, Michael, that was, you know, that's a really intense one, and thank
yeah.
you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And that's all we have time for.
I know.
People.
Wow.
So. We'll do another Ask a Witch in April, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in April. So send in your questions, and we'll banter about your personal shit.
And hopefully give you not only a sense of that we care, but obviously that there is help, and whatever we have is our words of wisdom.
Yeah. And next week will be our episode about Imbolc.
Yeah, it'll be another rebroadcast for that particular holy day for us.
Hooray.
Hooray. Well, have a wonderful week.
Yay. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet, and merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
Get to Old Navy. Tomorrow only, get 50% off all dresses and 50% off all men's and boys' button-down shirts. That's right. All dresses and men's and boys' button-downs are 50% off at Old Navy and OldNavy.com tomorrow. Valid 217 excludes in-store clearance. Get to Old Navy. Tomorrow only, get 50% off all dresses and 50% off all men's and boys' button-down shirts. That's right. All dresses and men's and boys' button-downs are 50% off at Old Navy and OldNavy.com tomorrow. Valid 217 excludes in-store clearance.